Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, and tonight we want to continue looking at some more things that the Bible has to say about a good man. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn.
Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for this time that we have to meditate upon it and reflect upon it. And God, just use it in each of our lives, we pray, and especially in the Father's. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, Solomon tells us something about a good man, and that is that he obtains favor from the Lord. He obtains favor, meaning God's approval and God's goodwill. And it's a term that we find several times in the Old Testament, and also a few times relating to a good man. And the Bible tells us some of the ways or some of the channels by which God's favor can be obtained by the good man. One of the ways we find in Proverbs chapter 18, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. It's a blessing from God to have a godly wife. And that's an expression of God's favor. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs chapter 8, and let's turn there, Proverbs chapter 8, and verse 35. And here Solomon writes, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now in these early chapters in the book of Proverbs, we have several chapters that are in which God's wisdom is portrayed as a woman. As a woman that's calling out to young men. And here we see God's wisdom is speaking to the readers in this book. And God's wisdom is saying, whoso findeth me, God's wisdom, divine wisdom, if you find that, then you shall obtain favor from the Lord. A good man seeks wisdom from the Lord. And as he seeks it, Lady Wisdom says several times, if you seek me, you'll find me. God's wisdom isn't trying to hide from us. God's wisdom was revealed so that we might receive it. And those that seek after God's wisdom will find it, and the one who finds it will obtain favor, acceptance, divine goodwill from the Lord. We see this Lady Wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1 crying out to the young men. And she cries out to all the young men that are involved in all kinds of foolish behavior. And she's beseeching these young men to follow this wisdom, to listen to what Lady Wisdom has to say. And this is the way that young men, and any one of us, can obtain God's favor. You know, we have written here, right in the Bible, God tells us who it is that will receive his blessing. Who it is who he's going to bless. Now, God can bless whomsoever he wills. It's up to him. He can bless or he can choose not to bless. But he tells us in the Bible who he's going to bless, who he's going to give favor. And he tells us that it's the one that seeks and finds and walks in the wisdom that he's crying out towards us to receive. Now, the one who rejects divine wisdom, he's wronging his own soul. That's what Solomon says. He's harming his own life by not listening to Lady Wisdom as she cries out to the young men in the marketplace. But the good man, we saw this morning, his steps are ordered by the Lord. He walks in obedience to God's word, and he keeps on running the race. He keeps on looking unto the Lord Jesus, and he's going to discover that that's the kind of life that obtains favor from the Lord. That's the life God blesses. And he will obtain God's favor all throughout his life. And you know, with God's favor, it's not the kind of thing that you can notice moment by moment, or even day by day. It's the kind of thing that when you look back over the last 5 years, or the last decade, or the last couple of decades, you can see God's favor crystal clear. You can see, as we sang, all the way my Savior led me. And we can see, as we look back, God's favor at every twist and turn in life. We may not notice it at the time, but hindsight gives us a much better vision of that. Turn to Psalm 112. Psalm 112 and verse 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. Here's another description of the good man. We saw earlier that the good man, the one who seeks wisdom, the good man obtains favor from the Lord. And now we read that this good man shows favor to others. And that only makes sense if God blesses us and shows us wisdom. That's the kind of thing that a good man would want to share. Now, this is a different word for favor, same basic concept. But this word speaks of being gracious and kind and pitiful and merciful, showing consideration. And so the man who has obtained favor of the Lord will be merciful to others, kind to others, gracious to others. And you know, there's nothing unmanly about being kind and gracious. We read of the Lord Jesus that he was full of grace. John 1. It was full of grace. And grace upon grace. Good men are gracious men and show pity to the plight of others. They show deeds of mercy to those in need. And that's the man whose life will be blessed with the favor of God. It's kind of not a vicious cycle, it's a good cycle. The one who obtains favor shows it to others, and as he does that, God blesses him even more. And notice also in this verse, in verse 5, he describes this showing favor to others, and he lendeth. A good man shows mercy to others, and he lends. Maybe he lends money, maybe he lends property, maybe he would lend his camel or his oxen. It's one of the ways that he shows kindness to his neighbors. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells us that we're not to steal. Instead of stealing, we're to work with our hands so that we will not steal. We'll have enough, we'll earn enough for ourselves, and we'll earn enough so that instead of stealing from other people, we'll have enough so that we can share with other people and give to others. And the point there is that good men are not selfish and stingy. They're not full of themselves, but they are giving and gracious and considerate of the needs and the feelings of others. And this is how we see the good man described in the Bible. Now, also in that very same verse, we have another description of the good man. A good man will guide his affairs with discretion. Now, his affairs means his whole manner of life. Includes his work, his speech, the way he conducts his business, his occupation, the way he acts, his manners. A good man is concerned about his speech, what he talks about, the subjects that he talks about. And the way he conducts his life. And he does so with discretion. That means good judgment, discernment, sound judgment. The good man does things right. He knows the difference between right and wrong. He doesn't cut corners. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't fudge with the truth. He follows after wisdom. And he finds it. And he listens to sound wisdom. When Lady Wisdom calls through God's word, he's right there to listen. And so he conducts his whole manner of life, all of his affairs, with sound judgment. And that sound judgment is not natural. The sound judgment is supernatural because it's revealed to us in God's word. And so here's a good man, and he's described as one who submits all of his affairs to the way of discretion. So when he speaks, he's careful with his speech he's careful to avoid offense. He's careful when he speaks not to stretch the truth. He's careful when he speaks so that his word can be considered as gold to those that hear it. They know they can count on what he says to be true. And he uses discretion with his behavior in everyday life. He uses discretion around those of the opposite sex. He's a man of integrity in every detail of his life. He exercises wisdom and sound judgment. This is the good man that the Bible describes. And this is the man that can expect to find favor from God in his own life and also in the life of his family. And so we have here great descriptions of the kind of man that God calls a good man. And God wants every one of us to be good men. Turn to the Gospel of Luke. We have a New Testament description of a good man by the Lord Jesus himself. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So here the Lord Jesus is speaking about speech. The source of the speech is the heart. And what's ever in the heart is going to eventually roll off the tongue. And here the Lord Jesus says that a good man is going to dig down into the good treasure that's in his heart. So here is a man with a regenerated heart. There are good things in that heart. And he digs out of the good things in his heart, and that's what he speaks about. You know, the heart is that inner control center where we mull things over in our minds, we think of things. And here we see that an evil man has an evil heart, and he pulls evil treasures out of that heart, that evil heart, and evil words come forth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, Jesus spoke of that on several occasions. And he warned us, apart from regeneration, apart from a new heart, the old heart is a cesspool. And out of our heart comes adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, all kinds of evil lurk in the fallen heart of man. And so here the Lord is speaking about two different kinds of men, a good man and an evil man. They both have hearts. They both have things that they've been mulling over in their hearts. And both of those things will eventually come forth. You know, this principle that we read here is found in lots of different passages in different expressions of it. For example, what he's saying here is basically, you know a tree by its fruit. Whatever a man brings forth out of his mouth, those thoughts were in his heart before he spoke it. It didn't just pop out of the thin air. And that's why it's so important for a good man to keep his heart. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And here Solomon says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Notice what we're to concentrate on. So many problems, family problems, work problems, people problems, all kinds of national problems, international problems, all kinds of horrible things might be taking place all around us. And yet, God tells us not to concentrate on trying to fix all the problems of the world. It'd be great if you can, go for it, but it's not going to happen. But what we're to concentrate on is to guide our own heart and to do it with all diligence. That's to be the focus. And then he goes on to say in verse 24, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Because what comes off our mouth first was in the heart. And then he says in verse 25, "And let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee." In other words, don't start looking where you shouldn't be looking. Because it's not the actual eye that seeks looking for evil things. It's the heart that moves that eye in that direction. And so his point is that the source of it all, what makes a good man good, is what goes on in his heart. And that's why we know that our hearts are cesspools, or can be cesspools. And that's why we need to guard our hearts with all diligence and make sure that our hearts are yielded to God so that the Holy Spirit can work in and through us. A good man, a good father, keeps his heart with all diligence, and thus he has pure eyes and a pure mouth. And it doesn't matter whether he's at church or whether he's in the office or whether he's on a soccer field or whether he's in the neighborhood or wherever he might be. If he keeps his heart with all diligence, good things will come out of his mouth. And his eyes will be looking straight ahead. Good men guard their hearts, that inner control center. And that's how God describes, once again, that good man. Turn to Proverbs again, chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, another description of the good man. The Bible has a lot to say about this man. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22. "A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." But here we're told that a good man leaves an inheritance for his family, for his children, and perhaps his grandchildren. Now keep in mind, this is a proverb. Proverbs are truth crystallized into a little nugget. They are generalizations. It doesn't cover every single circumstance, and there are always exceptions to the rule, but this is the rule. This is a proverb. It happens so often that you could say it's proverbial, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his family. And again, this good man is a moral man, a righteous man. And generally speaking, if you look in verse 21, here's what happens. Evil pursues sinners. It follows them. A man who's given himself to sin, everywhere he goes, evil is right behind him. It follows him everywhere. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. To a righteous man, now, there are exceptions. Sometimes righteous suffer in this world and the wicked seem to prosper. But the principle is, the proverb is, the generalization of truth is that just as evil follows the sinner, so good follows a good man. And sometimes that good follows him even in this life. He may be recompensed in this life. Proverbs 11 says that. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. And so often when a man leads a good, godly, righteous life, it pays off. It benefits him, yes, even in our earthly life. Not in every situation. Sometimes good men are tortured and persecuted and killed. But generally speaking, leading a good life does pay off in this world. If you're a hard worker, that pays off. If you're a diligent student and you do well in school, your studies will pay off. A good man does things right. He doesn't cheat and cut corners. Doesn't have to worry about being arrested and thrown in jail or his property being repossessed. Generally speaking, that when you lead a good life, good will follow you. And that's why David was able to say in Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He's saying the same thing. He expects that because he has led a good life before the Lord, that goodness will follow him for the rest of his days. So this good man, he works hard, he studies hard, he does his best, he practices that old Protestant work ethic. He's fair, he's honest and ethical and upright. Normally, a life like that is going to prosper. He's going to do well wherever he is. If he's a business owner, his business will probably do well. If he works for a company, he's probably going to advance in the company. That's the kind of worker that the owner wants. And when his life is over, or when he's near the end of his days, that integrity, that good life that he led, will have something to show for it, for his labors. And that's what Solomon is getting at, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. He led a good life. He didn't blow all his money at the racetrack. He didn't blow all his money on drugs and alcohol. He set aside a little nest egg. Doesn't mean he's rich. But he listened to Lady Wisdom. Didn't lead a foolish life. He didn't spend his money foolishly. He was wise and frugal with it. And normally, this is the kind of man that will have something left over to leave for his children and his children's children. And Solomon says, that's a good man. And his children and children's children will benefit from it. From his hard work, from his labor, from his frugal living, his wise investments. Now, this isn't promoting worldliness or materialism, but rather it's a statement of what the good man does. Now, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In verse 11, wisdom is good with an inheritance. An inheritance is good, but wisdom is really good with an inheritance. And by it there is profit to them that can see the sun. Wisdom, he says, is like a defense in verse 12. There's a protection. It's like a wall of protection around a person. If he's wise, he can keep a lot of trouble away. And he goes on to say, right after that, that money is also a defense. There can be safety. You can protect yourself from lots of things if you can afford to buy the health care, if you can afford to buy things that you need. There is a defense to that. It's wise. But God's wisdom, accompanied with that, is what makes it such a defense. There are a lot of very wealthy people who have inherited millions of dollars, but you know, you can't inherit wisdom. And it doesn't necessarily follow that a wise man lived wisely and frugally, and he left much money for his children, and his children may not be wise, they may be fools and blow it in no time. And here, Solomon's point is that wisdom is the best possible inheritance to leave behind to your children. It's far greater than leaving them gold. For a father to leave his children, his sons, an example of godly living is far better than leaving them a big chunk of money in the bank. To leave behind them an example of Christ-likeness, of charity, of integrity. That's a real fortune. That's a true fortune. Those are true spiritual riches. And so whether we have earthly goods to leave behind or not, it's nice to be able to. It's good to be able to leave a grandfather clock or maybe a nice car or maybe a house or some other such thing. But if you're going to leave something in your portfolio for your children, make sure that it's a godly heritage. Maybe you have a very valuable grandfather, old grandfather clock in your house. Or maybe you have a bed that George Washington slept in. Very valuable. There are probably about 1 million of those. He couldn't possibly have slept in all the places that claim that he did. Now, those are nice heirlooms. But far more important than leaving that to your children or grandchildren is leaving them with this etched into their minds and hearts. My father or my grandfather loved God. He was always praying. He was always reading his Bible. His Bible was worn out. That's a priceless inheritance. My father, my grandfather was at church every time they opened the doors. You know, that's the kind of thing that you leave behind for your children and grandchildren that really sticks with them. And maybe later on in life they'll become wayward and wander away from the Lord. But those thoughts about what my parents were like, what my grandparents were like, will be like a burr under their saddle. And maybe for years to come until they get right with God. That's the best inheritance to leave behind. That's what a good man does. He leaves something of value to his children. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. And verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man from himself. Now notice I skipped those words. They're italicized. They don't belong, or I shouldn't say they don't belong. They were added by the translators to help the sentence flow better in English, but they were added. And just think this through for a minute. He says in the first part of verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. He lived an evil life, backslidden life, and so he is going to be filled with the influence of that kind of a lifestyle. He will be filled with the consequences of that kind of a lifestyle. And then he goes on to say, in a good man, the same will be true of him. He will be filled, if you will, with the consequences from himself, from a godly manner of life. That's the point here. Solomon doesn't say that the good man will be successful and prosperous, but it does say that he'll be satisfied. He'll be happy with the results, with the consequences of the kind of life that he lived. And even if he was unsuccessful financially, you know, you can be unsuccessful financially and still be very happy and content and satisfied in life. If you gave it your best shot, you did your best at your job, and then you just leave the outcome in God's hands and you know that you're walking in the will of the Lord. And if this is God's will for me, I accept it. And you can be perfectly happy and content in that situation. And so here, Solomon says that this good man is satisfied inwardly. And it comes as a result of what God has done in him. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace and rest because he has a conscience that is clean and pure. He knows that he worked hard, he did his best, and things at his business didn't turn out all that well, but he can sleep at night. And he's filled with the good consequences of a good life. And he realizes that this is from the Lord. He was the man, that good man, that chose Christ over money. He chose Christ over the world. He chose Christ over pleasure. He chose Christ over anything and everything else that came his way. And therefore, he is satisfied in the inner man. And one other description of a good man, turn to Acts chapter 11. And this is a particular man, Barnabas. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came in the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. So here we have three more descriptions of a good man. This good man was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the proof of that is, Paul tells us, he had a song in his heart. He was a thankful man. And because he was filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit was manifested in his life. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, etc. That was the ongoing attitude of his life. And imagine how the fruit of the Spirit could transform your marriage, your family. Barnabas was filled with the Spirit. And it says also that he trusted God. He was a good man. He was a man of faith. He walked by faith. He lived by faith. He trusted the Lord. And you know that shield of faith will protect us from all the fiery darts of the adversary. That's a good man. He walks by faith. And while Satan may seek to devour the good man and ruin his testimony, by faith, as 1 Peter says, we're to be sober, vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Good men are safe because they trust God. And notice also in verse 23, he exhorted believers to cleave to the Lord. That's a good man. When he was around believers, when he was worshiping in the local church setting, he was a good man, and he demonstrated that because he was always exhorting believers. In fact, we're told that Barnabas, his name was Son of Consolation. It means he was an exhorter. He was a comforter, an encourager. Same word as the comforter has come, the Holy Spirit. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur. He wasn't tearing other people down. He wasn't gossiping about others. He was an encourager. He built others up. And that's what God calls a good man. He had good things to say to believers. And notice this in verse 24, that much people was added unto the Lord. In other words, he had good news for the unsaved too. And he shared the gospel. And many people came to know the Lord as a result of him. That's a good man in God's sight. And so just this section, we look at some of the things the Bible says about a good man. He obtains favor from the Lord and he shares it with others. He demonstrates wisdom and judgment and discernment. His heart is full of treasures, good treasures, and he shares them verbally with others. He's a hard worker and he leaves an inheritance to his children, especially that of a spiritual wisdom. He's content with life. He's satisfied that he led as good a life as he could by the grace of God. He was a man of faith. He exhorted the believers and he shared the gospel. That's a good man in God's sight. And we have a lot of other passages, but we're going to have to close at 7 o'clock. I'm going to try to be a good man tonight, too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the description of the good man. And we pray, Lord, that each of us here would seek to have this to be true in our lives. Help us to trust you and walk by faith and obedience, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.